Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
If God says it is not good to be alone, it is not good to be. You see, we only use it when we come to marriage. But use it in your Christian walk. Who is your prayer partner? Who prays with you?
Solomon further explores the complexities of human relationships in this lesson, highlighting the presence of oppression, jealousy, discontent, fame, and power. He emphasizes that while jealousy can motivate individuals to work hard and achieve success, finding contentment in what we already have is important. He points out that while human relationships may come with challenges, it is not good to be alone. Having two individuals in a relationship can bring success, support, and strength, especially when God is at the center of that relationship. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Futility in Relationship.
Solomon describes certain relationships, and I believe every single one of us on earth has some form of relationships, and we are pursuing them. Right? Marital relationships, working relationships, family relationships, all kinds of relations, covenant relationships, and so on. But he says that in every relationship, if God is not in it, then it's like the chasing of the wind. Amen. And that is what we are going to deal with today in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Are you guys ready? Now, please write this down. Solomon observes that human relationships are characterized by the following things. Number one, he said human relationships are characterized by oppression. Oppression. You find that in most relationships, there is a master and there is a servant. There are those who are in high power and those who are below. And then he talks about how those who are mighty and powerful tend to oppress those who are low and down. Secondly, he talks about the concept of jealousy. And then he says, in most relationships, people envy one another. Is that not what we see in life? Sometimes you realize people are working very hard. That's what he says here. That people are working very hard. But the only reason they are working hard is because they are jealous of somebody's success. All right? They're jealous of that. Then he talks about discontent. There are others who don't want to work. They just decide to sit on the corner because they claim that they are content, but actually they are discontent. And Solomon goes on to say, sometimes people are into what is called fame and power so that they can have people following them. And then there are other people who are also seeking relationships from people who have pain and power. Are you guys following? So those are the four things he does mention. And at the end of it, he comes to a conclusion that even though human relationships are characterized that way, he says two are better than one. That is what is called an axiomatic expression. What does it mean? What it means, an axiom is simply a general statement that is true and factual. But it does not mean that it is completely and all the time true. Pastor, what are you saying? You're saying that Solomon is making a mistake here? No, he made a statement that is true, but it will not always be true. Is two always better than one? Both parents at home, are they better than a single parent? You see, your answers are yes, no, yes, no. Because in certain aspects, two are better than one. Because I have seen two parents not managing the kids right, and one parent have put the kids in line. That is why I decided to explain the word axiom to you. There was a reason for which I said that. And so Solomon ends that by saying two and two and two. And he concludes it by saying, but a threefold cord, because the third strand is what makes two better than one. And we will discover who or what is the third strand. Are you ready to go on the journey? All right. So I gave you a summary of the entire chapter 4. So now let's delve deep into this. We are in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Picking up, I'll read the first three verses. I'll read from the New Century Version. He says, "Again, I saw all the people who were mistreated here on earth. I saw their tears that they had no one to comfort them. Cruel people had all the power, and there was no one to comfort those they hurt." Today, when you turn on the TV, you can see all the hurt. Don't you see it? It's everywhere. There are marriages, spouses are being oppressed. There are churches, church members are being oppressed by their leaders, and the leaders are being oppressed by church members. Oppression, oppression, oppression. Everybody say oppression. So Solomon says, because of the level of oppression and the evil all around the world that I have seen, he says in verse 2, "I decided that the dead are better off than the living." Because if you are dead, nobody can oppress you. He says, "But those who have never been born are better off still." Do you understand his argument? Now, please look at it this very way. Because when you are mistreated, you often tend to question God. Do you? Haven't you found that many people, when they are going through oppression or they are dealing with people who are oppressing them, tend to question that, is, does God actually exist? Solomon is not questioning God's existence. Sometimes we do not only question God's existence, but we question God's goodness. Solomon is not questioning either of it. He simply said, "I know God is good. I know God exists. But the truth is, was it even really necessary that we were born?" In reality, Solomon is questioning God's goodness. Because if God is good and he made us come to the earth, then things should have been fine. But he recognizes, look at verse 3, he says, "But those who have never been born are better off still. They have not seen the evil that is done here on earth." So he's looking at all the people around him and how they have been oppressed by people in positions of what? Power. People in positions of power. Can you imagine working at a place and somebody, because they are the MD or your supervisor, just gets up and then he talks to you anyhow? Anybody here? Let me see your hands. Anybody? Have you ever experienced that? There was one time a church member spoke to me anyhow, and I said, "By my age and by my education, if we were in the world, you wouldn't talk to me like that." Don't use church as a basis to disrespect. I understand oppression. Then there are pastors who oppress church members too. Today there are pastors standing in the pulpit using the authority to curse people. It's sad. The people we are supposed to bless. Church members, they can be troublesome. But you can't curse them. All you can do is to love them. You can't love them, don't be a pastor. Amen. Solomon is saying relationships are often characterized by what? Oppression. So the question I want to ask you is that sometimes when we read the word of God, we tend to say, maybe it's for them. I think this word is for you and for me. And that is the place you say? Amen. The word is for? Amen. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Tell them, this word is for me. Don't go give it to nobody. It's for you. So Solomon said, our relationships are often characterized by oppression. But secondly, look at verse 4 to verse 6. He says, "I realize that the reason people work hard and try to succeed, they are jealous of each other. This too is useless, like the chasing of the wind. Some say it is foolish to fold your hands and do nothing because you will starve to death. Maybe so, but I say it is better to be content with what little you have. Otherwise, you will always be struggling for more. And that is like the chasing of the wind." Here we see that Solomon observes that people's attitude towards work, right? And he tells you of two groups of people. Those who work very hard, not because they want to work hard and make money, because they are jealous of other people's what? So he's telling you that in relationships lies jealousy, envy. Who are you envious of? Sit down very carefully, because you can easily write it off. We just said the message is for me, right? It's for you. Who are you jealous of? If you really pay attention, even though you keep saying other people are keeping up with the Joneses, you might find out that's exactly what you're doing. Solomon says, there are people working very hard, but the only reason they are working hard is because they are jealous of somebody's Mercedes-Benz. I'm putting it into play terms now. They are jealous of the other person. They are jealous of their home. Child, be you. Be what? Be you. How many of you want to be me? Sleepless nights? Earlier, I told my wife, I said, when we go and we are coming back, may the Lord spare me. Give me a chance, me to let me have fun. Because sometimes in the midst of fun, I will sense a burden and I'll start praying. And people are having fun. And it sounds like I'm crazy. But when you choose to walk with Him, you must walk with Him the right way. Amen. Solomon is saying, listen, there are many people who are jealous. They are jealous of you. Look, for all you know, the person sitting next to you is jealous of you. They're even jealous what you're wearing. I've seen husbands who are jealous of their wives. And wives who are jealous of their husbands. So they don't want them to have a better education. Jealousy in the center of the relationship. Are you jealous of someone? Because it's very easy to do it and not see it. Solomon says, the relationships that we do have are characterized that way. Then he says, there's the other spectrum of those who says, I'm not going to work hard. I'm going to be lazy. Why? Because me should work and somebody else come and eat. Forget it. I'm not doing it. Is that person still not in jealousy? You're jealous of the fact that somebody won't work and eat. But Solomon gives an advice in verse 6 that is so important. He says, work hard, but be content with what you have. Are you guys following? Work and work what? Hard. But just be what? Content with what you have. Be content. In other words, don't look at anybody else to live your life. Live your life. Guys, don't compare your wife to another woman. They may have the same behind and front, but inside with character, they are not the same. Don't compare your children. I've said this before. Them children don't come with manuals. And it's amazing. All my four kids, if they came with manuals, it would have been different manuals. It can't be the same manual because they are different. There are some, when I back, they will bow. Some, when I back, they will back at you. I have learned in ministry over the years that how to know the nature of an animal is when you correct it. Because when you correct a sheep, but when you correct a wolf, whoom. That's how I know which church member I'm dealing with. It is true correction, because when I correct the way you react, tells me whether you're a sheep or you're a wolf. Someone says, people, just work, but be content. Just what? Work. But be? Content. Come on, tell the person sitting next to you, work. Work very hard. But not because you're jealous of someone. He's not discouraging us from working hard. Please understand. He's not telling you to be lazy. He's not telling you to stay home. He says work. Work very hard. Be content. But don't do it because you saw somebody have something. Amen. Amen. In verses 7 to verse 8, Solomon states that anyone who remains alone faces a life of hollow. Notice we are dealing with relationships here, right? He tells us that there is jealousy. He tells us that there is discontent. He tells us that there is oppression. Now he's telling us that there are some people, they choose to be alone. Because you're tired with people. You know how sometimes we look at other people and say, I don't want you to deal with them. Can I come inside the church? I don't want to deal with them. Really? I have said this and I'll say it again. The person sitting next to you, you need them. You just need them. If you make it to heaven, there is no Lone Ranger believer. Lone Ranger. And there are people who are teaching this in the pulpit, and people are just embracing it. The Lord told us to forgive, but let's set boundaries. Did you read that in the Bible? Did you read that in the Bible? If you forgive, you have what? Forgiven. Period. It is their way of saying, I don't want to be seen as I haven't forgiven. So they set boundaries. God knows your heart. And he knows mine. Let us change our ways. Amen. Amen. Solomon says, stop being that. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. Please reread me, shall we? Go. Again, I saw something here on earth that was useless. Verse 8, I saw a man who had no family, no son or brother. He always worked hard, but was never satisfied with what he had. He never asked himself, for whom am I working so hard? Why don't I let myself enjoy life? This also very sad and useless. Does it sound like somebody you know? You want to be alone. And we see Christians doing it. I like reading books. And sometimes I don't read only religious books. I read books from different sources. There was one book I was reading. It was a book written by a pimp. Pastor, what are you reading that for? Because pimps have the ability to control the way people do things and let them do it. They have leadership. So I wanted to understand the way they operate. How is it that they can make a whole human being become dependent on them? And in one of them that I was reading, the guy said, the only way is to let their victims feel that they can depend on them and them alone. They first of all let them see the need for a relationship, but then it's not just with anybody else but them. I don't believe that's what God's word is teaching us. All right? But God's word is teaching us is that stop being alone. Everybody say that with me. I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. Please help me preach this message. Tell them very clearly. Stop this Lone Ranger business. Please, if the person is your spouse, don't do it. Because I don't want you to go home and get, you know how sometimes spouses, for whatever reason, the other one doesn't want to talk to the other one? Can I get into your house? Can I come in? They don't want to talk for whatever reason. Whatever reason, they don't want to talk. Lone Ranger. What if I'm having a heart attack? Let me ask you a question. That moment you want to be by yourself, what at all would you gain? I know sometimes some people to talk too much, but just keep them around. Amen. Solomon says, no, it is wrong. And he makes a very powerful statement in verse 9. Please read with me. In verse 9, go. He says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Two people are better than. Two people are better than because they get more done by working together. Look at verse 10. If one falls, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls because no one is there to help him. Do you realize that sometimes believers, all we do is that I want to stay by myself. I want to be in my own lane. I don't want to deal with no church member. Really? Look at me, look at me. Stop the nonsense. Amen. Because that is how Satan takes people out. If one falls, the other one will do what? If you see people who are in addictions, most of the time, when they are practicing addiction, is anybody around? They want to be alone. So the word of God has already given you the solution, and you are fasting and praying for the addiction to go away. Surround yourself with people who walk in purity, and that gets taken care of. Right there. Instead of saying, let's have 7 days of fasting. No. The answer is walk with people who understand purity, and they will push you into it. If I want to gossip about you and your husband is close by, will I? No. It's only a stupid person that would do that. Why? Because if I do it while the husband is there, the husband will go tell her, correct? So that means as long as I have these people around me, gossip becomes difficult. From today, you got to quit it. No ranger believer. It doesn't exist anywhere. Satan is so smart. So all of a sudden, he messes around with your emotions. You know how nobody likes you. You know how when you go to that church, nobody looks at your face. Even the pastor, when he walks by, he just walked by. He didn't even look at you. He looked at you with the corner of his eye. Child, do you know my own troubles? And then Satan cooks this. He cooks the whole emotion in you. He says, so stay by. Satan was around though, before your grandmother was born. So he knows how to take you out. And he stars these things in us. You know, the average believer today, little trouble, I won't go to church today. No. Be in the midst of other believers, because somebody may shout or smile or jump or do something that will kick you out of the place where you are. If you stay home, Satan got you. He got you. We are talking about relationships, correct? Solomon said, I see jealousy. I see oppression. I see discontent. I see fame and power. All of that. People are going after it. But he says, two are better than one. If one falls, the other can help him up. But if it is bad that the person who is alone falls, and because no one is there to help him. Look at verse 11, please. If two lie down together, they will be warm. But a person alone will be cold. Verse 12, read with me. Shall we go? An enemy might defeat one person. But two people together can defend themselves. Please pause there because I'll deal with the rest later. It is better not to be alone. Say that with me. It is best to have someone walking beside you. Come on, please repeat that to me. It is best. It is what? It is best. When we are single and not married, we are all itching to be married. Then now you are married, you don't want to deal with your spouse. What's the matter with you? What is the matter with me? Sometimes the person who will help you is sitting next to you. The thing you've been fasting and praying for, the answer is in that guy. I remember when I wrote my first book, It's Time to Dream Again. Well, I had to look for a proofreader, pay the guy, look for this, look for that, look for that. Later on, I realized that there were people inside this room who knew how to proofread, and they could have easily done it and saved me money. They were here. There is no way that God will surround you with people and they are all useless. It is you who think they are, but they are not. God is the one who wired those people. He knows what he's put in them. Sometimes, like I think I shared that with you, right? We need them, but they will needle us. They are like porcupines. But after you clean some of the blood, you still bring them close. You fight a little and you continue. Amen. 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 Are you learning anything today? The older I get, I've come to understand that sometimes the things we fight about is not worth fighting over. It's like the chasing of the wind. Let me ask all of you a question. This is an axiom. What are the two most important stages in life? When a child is crawling, when they are like all of us walking around, and when they get to the place where they are old and going. The three. Which one is the one or two of them is the most important? Anybody? Somebody says all three. They don't want to make a mistake. Do you realize that when you are born, you start walking slowly? And when you're about to die, you walk the same way. In fact, it is believed by pediatricians that when a child is born and you watch the stomach, they don't breathe from here. They breathe through that. And it's the proper way of doing it. The rest of us struggle because we have changed the natural way and we are doing it our way. As for God, if you follow his stuff, his world is perfect though. What I'm trying to show you is that if God says it is not good to be alone, it is not good to be alone. You see, we only use it when we come to marriage. But use it in your Christian walk. Who is your prayer partner? Who prays with you? Or you are this powerful prayer person by yourself? Me, myself, and I. Me, you know, I can pray. Or they're all lazy. They are not spiritual people. It's not all the gimmicks you do that makes you spiritual. Are you learning anything today? Glory be to Jesus. So please write these four things down. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 teaches us that relationships will bring four things. Number one, it will bring success. He says two are better than one because they will have better profit for their labor. Better profit for their labor. Number two, it brings support. You have somebody to support you. That it, there will be a help in time of difficulty. If you fall, the other person will lift you. I've been going through this problem for so many years and nobody in the church cares because you are by yourself. Because you don't want to talk to anybody about it. Child, we already know because you put it on Facebook. So, agreement or relationships bring success. Number two is in verse 10. It will bring support. Thirdly, it brings security. Security. He says, when you need comfort, you will get it. And fourthly, it brings strength. That is the one I want to focus on. Success, support, security, and... Now, let's do some correlation. So far, we've been talking all in the book of Ecclesiastes. So let me delve into other parts of scripture to corroborate the things we are learning. Are you with me? Now, the word of God teaches us that we are not supposed to be alone. God created us as dependent beings. We are supposed to depend on each other. Do you realize that in life, there are people who would always be able to crack jokes? It doesn't matter what is going on, they will crack jokes. And you might think they are not serious people. But that's the way God made them. They are serious people. But in the midst of difficulty, you need people like that to make you what? Smile. Then there are people like me. We are always serious. Always thinking. Always coming up with a theory. And we may seem like we are too serious human beings for you. But if you take us out of the world, your world will not be without development. Are you with me? Then they're feeling touchy people. Why did you do that? You're just hurting people's feelings. And then people my type will look at that because we are tax-oriented in nature. Like, whose feelings are we hurting? We're supposed to get a thing done. Let's get the work done. Are you with me? I'm just trying to describe. I think there are four types of people. You will be one or two amalgamated. This is why you need people. Because you don't have it all. If you look at my wife here, if she is not in my life, I'll let you people do things because I'm not afraid. I am not afraid one bit. I can dare anything. But she's in my life to say, "Hun, slow down. This thing, you want to go there. Let's think through it." But I realized that if I ignore the relationship God has put in my life, I will not think through the stuff. I will only depend on my strengths. And I think I've taught you this before. Whatever makes you excel is not your strength. It's how you manage your weaknesses.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.